Hey, everybody, it's your pod dad, Hal. And if you enjoy the show that you're about to listen to, why don't you go give us a rating on Apple Podcasts and be like A-Day, who says they don't know anything about wrestling, but they love the friendship vibe that we have. And you know what? A-Day, I'm talking to you specifically. Sometimes friends wrestle, and sometimes wrestlers become friends. And that's the beauty of Tights and Fights. And if you agree, go hit them 5 stars and leave a glowing review so we can read it and smile. But for now, let's get into it.
Tights and Fights Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Podcast, podcast. Did you know what that one was?
I don't know. Is it Kevin? Is it any? It's just anybody.
Anybody know?
Snitsky?
No. Oh. Not
that's
Snitsky.
A good pull, my
the
friend.
The first one.
That's a
Gene
good one.
Snitsky.
Yes. When he was Gene.
When he had a foot fetish.
Yeah.
Oh, also, Hal, sorry. I forgot to tell you, while you were gone, this is now a foot fetish podcast.
Yes.
Perfect.
Things have changed a lot since you've last been here.
Yeah.
Let me kick off my New Balance and really get into it.
Yeah, I'm just really into growing this beard I've got going.
Oh God, I just smell like cigarettes, but I've never smoked. I can't help it. I don't want to foot fetish shame anybody.
Welcome to Tights and Foots.
Guys, that was Luke Harper. It was Luke Harper's song.
Oh, how yeah.
How are you going to look me in the face and act like I know what a Luke Harper song sounds like?
Because I know you're a huge Luke Harper fan.
I want
huge.
To be.
See?
I want to be if they would just let me.
Step one is knowing the song.
And cool music to come out to that you can remember.
Yeah, that doesn't just sound like the music of somebody pulling
up
in a song.
Oh, see, now I can hear it. Now I can hear it because it's got the rolling eyes.
Even the guitar's crying in that song. Yeah. Like, nobody pays attention to me.
It sounds like in a USA Up All Night movie when they're pulling up to the old gas station. That's the same music. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. Like Chris Jericho, I've returned when you least expected it. I'm Y2H, Hal Lublin. Welcome back, man! I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the workhorse enforcer of the program, Danielle Radford.
Ooh, like that one. That's a good one.
And the sightless savior of the masses, Des Delgadillo.
Save us, Y2H!
Yeah, baby! We got tons of things to talk about this week, from Braun Strowman's promo, Bayley's return, and what we loved most from wrestling this week. But first, Bobby the Brain Heenan passed away earlier this week at the age of 72.
I know.
I was first into wrestling, when I got into it as a kid in the early to mid 80s, he was and remains the gold standard for a heel manager. What is one memory, strong memory you have of Bobby the Brain that sort of sticks out, that'll be the thing your mind goes to when you think about him?
He's literally like jack of all trades, master of most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You know, where it's like he can do all of it, and he can do all of it incredibly well. And that was one of those things when I did go back that was really inspiring for me as someone who's like, you know, pod mommy, does all these million things, you know, yells about movies, does mm-hmm. comedy, acts, writes, blah, 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 blah. That's incredibly inspiring to watch someone who's like, no, you can literally have it all, and you can do. I really appreciate someone that can both be, like, both tell the funniest joke and be the butt of the joke in the same fucking sentence.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 100%.
He's honestly like a guy who should, if he had not gone into wrestling, he would have been even more successful. Like, this guy was so funny.
Yeah.
He could have had a sitcom. He could have had several stand-up specials on HBO. I mean, he. If you watch his Hall of Fame speech from 2004.
Oh, and mm-hmm. I did.
And
again,
it's so sad by the end, yeah. But it was like a stand-up act. Every line had people rolling. I mean, he's just a hilarious, hilarious dude. Like, from when he came back at WrestleMania 17 for that gimmick battle royal, and the Iron Sheik is coming out. And Bobby Heenan's like, oh, by the time the Iron Sheik gets the ring, it'll be WrestleMania 38. He's a funny man.
Yeah, absolutely. I always think of him in the weasel suit.
When yes.
They had him
yes.
in the weasel suit. Because not only was he quick mind, not only was he hilarious at coming up with and delivering jokes and ad-libbing, but his physical comedy, which is like, that's a big part of wrestling physicality. And he was
Absolutely.
A guy who wanted to be a worker, but was never the right size for it. And him spinning around and chasing his own tail yeah. and,
yes.
and just figuring out how to work in that suit is pantomime brilliant.
And yeah. you can absolutely see like the legacy of that. When you look back at that amazing fucking match that the Usos had versus the Fashion Police,
yeah.
when they were doing so much of that very broad physical comedy, it's like, yeah, the vignettes that they do are obviously incredibly funny, but here is also a way to do that. And when he was on the ground just doing that, yeah, it's, you can definitely see that comedy legacy. And you can see it with some of the like indie wrestlers that do a lot of the indie comedy wrestling. You can see a lot of what he brought. It's just, it's a big loss. All of these dudes are going to start going soon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's a real bummer reminder that like I love them. I love all of the work they did. I love to honor them. But it's like, you know, I've said it before here and I've said it in other places. I'm glad that Heenan got his roses while he was alive and we didn't wait until he was passed away.
Yes.
Or until he was about to pass away. He knew how loved he was. And I hope that we can continue to do that instead of, you know, things like it's great when, you know, when Randy passes and then he, you know, he goes into the Hall of Fame. But let's give our people their roses while they're alive. Let people know how much we loved them and appreciated them.
And one more rose to throw at Bobby Heenan, too, is, and this is, I think, should be remembered forever, his and Hulk Hogan's careers were almost forever linked, whether it was in the AWA mm-hmm. or with that marquee WrestleMania 3 match. It was Bobby Heenan who was managing Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
And then, one of my favorite things to bring up to people, all the way through when he was commentating at Nitro, when Hulk Hogan finally turned and became part of the NWO, who was there to tell us that he was right all this time about Hulk Hogan?
Yep.
But Bobby Heenan, he was right and we
God,
were wrong.
That's such a great moment. You were absolutely right.
Brilliant.
I want to go back and watch that now, too.
Yeah, go
I'm
find...
I'm just going to pretend like Hulk Hogan is in like a raccoon suit or something. I don't know.
All
but
those
I'm going to go
clips,
back and watch that now.
You can find all of them. They're if
I know.
It's not
I've
on
been,
the network...
I've been going back and I've been watching so much stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's not on the network, go to YouTube. Yeah. Find it.
Daily motion.
But let's talk about Raw. Let's talk about Bayley.
Somehow this is sadder.
She made her big return. I will remember you. Bayley just came back. She made her big return in her hometown of San Jose and was officially added to the Raw Women's title match this Sunday because why not?
Party of five.
So the crowd was souring on Bayley just a few weeks ago. Do you think this time it might be any different?
No. I don't. It was great, but it was a hometown return.
Right. Yeah.
She's from San Jose. It was a hometown return.
Not even a few boos. It was all cheers because that's where she's from.
And again, and let's be fair, I always watch Raw like the day after. So I am saying that from what I heard, I don't believe I heard a boo.
Yeah, even if there were boos, the pop for her, like the welcome back pop was so loud that I think it would have canceled out.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough. They keep pushing and pushing and pushing her and doing it in the wrong direction. I get bringing her back for the pop, but there's nothing. Really, all this this is what upsets me about is that it hurts Emma. It yeah. really shoves her.
Really?
If you thought she was going to be an afterthought before, she is barely going to. She'll be.
She's the fifth wheel.
Yes, she'll be Curtis Axel getting beat up before the Rumble begins, and then
but
not
it,
make
you
it
know,
into
it
the
did,
ring.
You know, it did. Alexa Bliss had that great moment where she goes in between them and is like, "Me too, you guys. Me too. I'm also here."
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked that as someone who is awkward and loves friends. I loved that little moment where it because it didn't feel to me, at least. I don't know how they planned for it to feel, but it didn't feel like that usual Alexa Bliss being like, "I'm too good for you." It felt like. I also like friendship, and of course, you know my heart's always going to go out to. So now I like Alexa Bliss. That was literally all it took, Hal. And I've never not liked her. She just hasn't been like on the top of my whatever. But her going in the middle of them and being like, "Oh, and I'm the champion, and I'm here too," and smiling and feeling so genuine and kind of feeling like she wanted to be part of the friendship circle, and also be like, "Hey, I'm the women's champion." It gave me a little friendship love.
Welcome aboard.
Ugh, we'll see how long it lasts.
Let's talk about Charlotte, who also made her return to TV.
Sure.
How good did it feel to have her back after everything that's happened with Ric Flair, Des?
Yeah, it felt really nice. And I guess they're going to kind of use real life events to kind of make her more of a top tier babyface on SmackDown, mm-hmm. which I don't know if I'm cool with that yet. But they got a book to sell. So they've got a...
Oh, did she write a book with her dad?
Yeah, Second Nature.
Oh, okay.
On digital bookstands now.
And there is like some really important stuff in it. She talks about why someone who you think of as someone being so stereotypically tough stayed in an abusive relationship and yada, yada, yada.
Right, right.
And it's that one is hard for me, Des, because it's like... You know, that's wrestlers have been using their personal shit since like forever.
Yeah.
That's what we do now. And not even just in the reality era, like they'll take it and use it on someone else or they'll be inspired by it. And that's what writing is.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the stuff with Ric Flair, and it's like,
you want to root
for her. I guess for me, it's like, as long as the people are alive to be okay with being used in that way.
And you know Ric Flair is. Like, he's the most.
Oh, you know, like, Ric Flair is like, yes, please talk about me more.
Yeah, of course. He's all about business.
Oh, sorry. Did I hear my name? And now I'm out of this coma.
Yeah, I mean,
Ric Flair is like, it's like that moment in like Peter Pan when Tinker Bell is like, clap. And he just heard all of us simultaneously clapping. And he's like, oh, I'm up now.
Yeah.
Homeboy's posing for pictures with Charles Barkley in his hospital room with a stent coming out of his upper arm.
That guy is
all about business. Like, he's totally down.
All about that business, playa. He's going to live forever.
Are you looking forward to Charlotte versus Natalya? I mean, that's where we're going for Hell in a Cell. Well,
remember their NXT match? That's always...
Yes.
Yeah, that was what made Charlotte, right?
We've never been able to duplicate that on the main roster. Hopefully, and big hopefully, they get the chance to do that when they have the pay-per-view level time slot, and they can do it.
I agree. Both of them they're obviously both amazing workers. Is it weird that I say that Charlotte versus Natalya sounds boring as shit? It just sounds boring as shit.
It doesn't sound fresh.
It doesn't sound fresh. But here's the thing. Charlotte versus Sasha sounded boring as shit every time they told us it was going to happen, and every single time it was a great match.
Yeah, it became that match. Like, I don't want to see it. Oh, wait, it's good.
Oh, wait, no, I did want to see this. This was great. So maybe, and you know what? And that's probably what's going to happen is like when that comes up, I'm going to be like, I don't give a fuck about, oh, no, I lied. This is good.
I think in the poor job that creative seems to do with helping Natalya establish a solid character so that you really understand like where she's coming from. If she's really trying to trade off of the heart name, put the heart back in her name. Like pieces
My
like
thing,
that.
Yeah,
but
either get rid of it or play it up to it, like the I think they should get rid of it.
But that's the issue is they are getting rid of it, but not in the promos. But because of that, you forget how good of a worker she is and how good her matches can be. So
all she ever does is remind you of all of these legends that she's related to. And it's like there's a reason why Charlotte was just Charlotte for a minute. Even when they would come and have Flair do stuff, there was a reason why she was just Charlotte and not Charlotte Flair for forever. And I don't know. I want her to drop all of the heart stuff and just stand on her own because I think that she can. And I think that doing this thing where it's like, well, I'm valid because I'm related to a bunch of dudes that are legends does her a disservice at this point.
Can I take the book for a second?
Take it.
Here's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see Natalya trot out like diva legends, women's legends, and kick their ass and become like a legend killer.
We
haven't had a female legend killer, but
I agree.
She could. I'm sure Medusa would bump around for her. Lita would be an interesting one to have her smack
Although,
around.
Although, honestly, I'm not going to lie. If they're going to do that, it's probably going to be with my EST of NXT.
Yeah.
Because she's already got that kind of like, I'm the best. I'm going to prove it.
Yeah, I just like the idea of I'm the only legend. I'm the living legend.
I agree.
Prove that
I
everybody else
great.
Doesn't deserve to be with me. It's a ready made for her character, mm-hmm. and it's sort of what they've been pushing her towards.
Yeah, Beth would come out for it. Like a lot of people would come out and do that.
You can have that.
Yeah, of Bianca whipping all the legends to death, though.
Right? Doesn't that kind of seem like fun?
The legend whipper.
Boy, that makes. Make some sound. hey, Bailey's not the only one who got a title match on Sunday. America's favorite fake black son has an IC title match against The Miz. This all started when The Miz insulted Kurt Angle, playing favorites with Jason Jordan. Did you like that they finally used Jason's fake white dad for more story development?
I mean, why do you give people fake white dads if you're not going to put it as part of the story? It doesn't make sense if it's not the storyline.
Also, are we supposed? It felt like they were moving Jason Jordan more towards a heel role, and now he's. I mean, he's. You can't wrestle Miz and be the heel.
No,
he won't allow it. I mean, he's just too good at being the heel. Not that he's trying to hold anybody back, but he's going to.
Yeah, you can't. You're not going to out heel the Miz.
Yeah. So I mean, Dez, Jason, are we supposed to be behind him? What's going on here?
I don't know. I guess so. I guess because we like Kurt Angle, so we're supposed to like his son. Teacher's pet syndrome, you know?
No, that is exactly what it is. We love Kurt Angle, and we love that he's back, so now we're supposed to love his fake black son. But that match won me over.
He's a really good wrestler.
He's such a good... And here's the thing, and that's why all of this fake black son stuff is so stupid, because he doesn't need it. Just let him wrestle and be good.
Let him wrestle.
Let him wrestle.
But what... I mean, without that, they've established no character for it. Even in American Alpha, his character was based off of he couldn't stand Chad Gable, who had more charisma than he did. Chad Gable gave him a charisma rub in NXT.
And that's what they're trying to do with the fake black son stuff. And I'm like, maybe send him to an improv class. Like, you guys could probably afford to have someone from UCB who ain't doing nothing go on the road with y'all and teach some improv classes to some of your people. Somebody from Second City or Groundlings is real bored and would love to see the world.
Hey, listen, some of the people in this room have taught improv for corporate stuff. Just, I'll go out on the road is what I'm saying.
I'm thank you for sacrificing yourself.
You. Taking one for the team.
I'm willing to do it. Not all heroes wear capes, but we do all yes and.
There it was.
That's on my card.
I was waiting for.
Take it. Let's talk about promos for a second. First, with Cena out, Roman continued the war of words on his own, reminding us of when Cena criticized The Rock for being a part-timer. Let's hear that.
So everything he said was just a lie. It was just talk. And that's why the result at No Mercy is going to be the same as it was at that WrestleMania. Only this time, he's going to be beat by a different Samoan.
I mean, maybe don't remind us of the one that's really famous and charming that everyone loves. Yeah. Maybe it's not the best thing.
It was not you at all.
The one that tried, like, he tried, it's fine.
Why did he sound like such a, like, even this is supposed to be his big coming out promo, I think, his verbal vengeance that we talked about last week.
Yeah. Right.
He sounds like a robot. And you know what's going to be different. I'm going to beat him at No Mercy.
Because
like,
he's
charismatic
trying to hit the bases,
about that.
Right? He's trying to, like, hit his script notes.
Yes.
Like, I got to remember this line that they gave me to say.
God.
Not that he's terrible on the mic, but this.
No,
Des,
but it's just Roman Reigns is, like, let those dudes go sometimes. Because Roman Reigns, that's in interviews, that just talks, is charming and awesome.
He is.
And
I want to hang out with him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is this the win that he needed, though, without Cena there to counter him? Did he at least put himself on close to equal footing verbally? What do you think, Des?
It's so weird because like he's talking about how John Cena is not there, and then WWE is sharing online that he's wrestling in China. Like he's no wonder he's not there because he's working harder than you are, Roman, at this particular moment.
It's also like you see that GIF that the people always post where it's like a woman who's clearly going through it and she's arguing with no one on the bus. It's like you're arguing with a ghost, my dude. Like you're arguing with someone who's not there. And to me, that I it was important for him to win the war of words. He does not win them if John's not there and he's just yelling in an empty ring.
Yeah,
you can talk about Alex Riley all you want to.
Oh, and he did.
Yeah.
He very much did.
And I think that's the first time anyone's ever said that sentence, by the way. You can talk about Alex Riley all you want to.
Yeah, nobody wants to. This basically, Danielle, to sum up what you said, is this was just basically one big subtweet.
Yeah,
right.
He just subtweeted. He didn't even at the dude. Like, he ain't there. Like, put his handle in it if you gonna do it.
Yeah.
You got heat with me if you subtweet. So I'm very much against Roman. And he's just stretching, trying to find the most obscure thing to make the internet nerd. He's like, Alex Riley?
No, and it's good. And I think, of the series, this was the best promo that he's done of the series. But it doesn't count if John's not there.
Yeah.
John needed to be there, and he needed to demolish him. And I'm not going to say that I don't think it couldn't have happened. I think maybe we will never know.
To quote Alex Riley's theme music, say it to my face. And he did not.
Wow, you just cut a better promo than Roman
deep,
Reigns did.
Yeah, every
deep
week.
Pulse,
every week before breakfast.
Says.
Nailed him.
Yeah. Goddamn, deep pulse.
Let's jump over to Finn Balor, who took a minute to explain more about the origins of the demon ahead of his match with Bray Wyatt. I suppose we should listen to that.
Yeah.
I want to tell you a story, Bray.
Please don't.
A story about a shy little boy who always felt just a little bit different.
I love Legos.
A boy who would bury his head in books about gods and monsters.
You
while
didn't.
All the other little kids were outside playing games.
Nigga, we saw Prince Devitt. Like,
and
what
as
are
a
you
man,
talking about?
He discovered a way to control the pain, the anger, and the rage that was inside of him by manifesting it into something just like the gods and monsters he would read about in the mythology books.
Yeah, you have to acknowledge that's
this
weird, my dude.
This man created a demon.
I'm so excited for Finn to take over for Jenna Elfman on that show about the childhood friend. How is he going to raise those kids? He can't do it on his own. He needs the demon to come help him. Come on, little demon. We're never going to get to that soccer game on time unless I can get this van to start. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, really.
I don't care about the goddamn demon.
I do not care at all.
I don't. It looks like somebody just melted makeup on his face. He is a good worker. He's fine with that pop collar. The demon has not been relevant since NXT. He does not need it here. He already pulled it out against Bray Wyatt and won. What is next?
I love the demon.
What is next?
I love the demon. I just think this weird origin story of like, one time I was a kid and people didn't like me and so I started dressing up in face paint. Nigga, no one liked us as kids. Like, no one. Who was popular as a 6-year-old? Like, everyone got made fun of.
You know there was one kid that was popular.
He's getting it's all like, the juice boxes.
Uh-huh.
And maybe he was popular in high school, but the way that beard grows in, I doubt it. Like, look. And y'all already know how my never-ending thirst for Finn Balor. But it is one of those things where it's like, my dude, like, no one, this whole thing of like, I couldn't control my demon, so I became a demon and I turned all of my demons into a demon. It's like, no, before it was you do something cool for pay-per-views because it's like Sasha Fierce versus Beyonce. Now I think you need therapy. You changed it.
Des, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. The demon is just, it's a t-shirt. It's a merchandise thing. And yeah, the demon was really cool at NXT. And I think you should bring it out for SummerSlam and you should bring it out for WrestleMania and do it real big at WrestleMania. But other than that, forget about it.
Yeah. In the same way that Triple H suddenly becomes a Viking king or whatever the fuck happens
right.
to him. Even though he's like French Canadian, it's fine.
The
We're
king
fine.
Of Westeros.
Wait, how did Bray Wyatt tell Finn to stop being a demon when he was a kid?
Little Finn, take off the makeup, Finn. Be like your brother Randy. Randy doesn't wear any makeup. Now go polish the doll heads in the bedroom. Finn.
Our Sephora bills are too big this month, Finn.
They're too
you
big.
Don't even know how to do it right.
Can't
your
do it.
Beauty blender's the wrong shape and size, Finn. You're using the small one for all over. You gotta use the big beauty blender, Finn.
I'm not driving you to Walgreens, Finn. Even I'm bored by this, Finn. I'm not even talking anymore. I'm just in my sleep. This is all a dream to me, Finn. Randy, go put my tea on.
All right, let's quickly highlight some other fun things from this week. Other fun things, because that story about the demon was a real hayride. Here's a bit of Neville being as great as ever. I don't even want to talk about Enzo Amore. Is that okay?
We don't have to.
Do we have to?
No, he did.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
he said he was murdered.
Yeah, by Braun Strowman.
And we'll never see him again. Yeah, he's done.
So Neville's going to have to defend the Cruiserweight title against a corpse.
How fun would that be, though, if, like, for the Cruiserweight title, Braun just carries out his fucking dead-ass body and lays him in the middle and then just walks out. He's just been carrying it in his ambulance for, like,
all week.
He's
just driving around.
I'm really excited for the new Scooby-Doo where Braun Strowman drives an ambulance full of beaten-up Cruiserweights across the country solving mysteries at theme parks.
I'm
so ready. So ready for that. Quick prediction. Yes or no? Does Brock versus Braun live up to the hype? I say yes.
Yes.
Oh, 1,000 times yes.
Yes, yes, a thousand times, yes.
And Danielle, close us out with what's been going on, because I need to know. I've been, as you know, I've missed 2 weeks. Last week I was in Kauai with my lovely wife celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary.
Yeah, you did.
It was wonderful. Yeah. And then I was in Louisiana the past couple days, and I don't know what's going on with Lucha Underground. I got to get my fix. You did say something intimate. I hope I'm not speaking out of school, that there's a possibility that once these episodes are done that there will be no more?
Yeah, we don't know. And that's kind of where we're at, and it's super a bummer.
I do have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Netflix would be smart to pick up Lucha Underground and make it an exclusive on their streaming service.
Absolutely.
They used to have WWE content. They don't really anymore because they have their own network.
Yep.
It gives money. It allows them to release stuff in bulk if they want to. And they certainly don't mind sinking budget into things.
Yeah, and it's also not like... Obviously, there's cost involved in Lucha Underground.
Right.
It's not as expensive to make as most of the shows that are on Netflix. You could do 13 episodes of Lucha Underground for probably what would cost you half of making, you know, an Orange is the New Black or a Glow.
Right.
They are like, you know, they already, you know what I mean? So I absolutely think that it would be a really smart thing for them, especially because they already have Glow on there. So that would be a really easy, like, hey, did you like this? Why don't you watch this fucking weird, mystical, you know, like fucking Indios and Mexicanas, like
rabbits.
Crazy. Yeah. And white dudes on acid fucking show that we have where some people are dead and some people aren't. And there's like vampires. Like, I think that it would be a slam dunk for Netflix, even if it's not, you know, and even if they don't want to commit to a full 13 season, like 13 episode order, if they wanted to do 6 or 7 episodes, I think it would be great. And I think that you're right, because it would give them the opportunity to release all of it at once. And, like, I appreciate that the El Rey Network exists, but there's not really a whole lot on there for original programming.
Mm-hmm.
And most people do not have the El Rey Network.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. I think that Netflix would be a slam dunk. But
well, all of you Lucha fans just know that if they wind up on Netflix, it was Pod Dad who saved the day. If you have any thoughts on the week in wrestling, let us know about it at facebook.com/group/tightsfights or @tightsfights on Twitter. And when we come back, let's talk about that Jinder Mahal promo.
Why?
That's up next on Tights and Fights.
The Dead Pilot Society podcast brings you hilarious comedy pilots that were never made, featuring actors like Aubrey Plaza, Andy Richter, Paul F. Tompkins, John Hodgman, Adam Scott, Molly Shannon, Busy Phillips, Tom Lennon, Anna Camp, Laurie Metcalf, Felicia Day, Michael Ian Black, Adam Savage, Paul Scheer, Ben Schwartz, Skylar Astin, Mae Whitman, Josh Molina, Ben Feldman, Nicole Byer, Jason Ritter, Sarah Chalk, Steve Agee, Jane Levy, Allison Tolman, Danielle Nicolette, Casey Wilson, Anna Ortiz, Lorraine Newman, June Diane Raphael, Kieran Shipka, Ed Week, Zach Knight, and Carrie Kenny Silver, John Ross Bowie, Jamie Denbo, Janet Varney, Alexander Forsyth, Summer, Ellen Morales, Matt Gordy, and many more. Listen at MaximumFun.org, iTunes, or wherever you download podcasts.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined in the booth by
Danielle Radford
and
Des Delgadillo.
Every so often, there's something from wrestling that we like to give extra attention. This is our main event. WWE had a great chance to really make a new star when they gave Jinder Mahal the WWE title earlier this year. Unfortunately, it's been tinged with racism almost from the beginning. It was bad enough when it was just Randy Orton. But now Jinder started doing it even more against Shinsuke Nakamura. Here's a clip.
Shinsuke, you always look the same.
No, thank you.
These people are not worth it, Shinsuke. Behind your back, they're saying you get your hair cut by a dog groomer. They call you Mr. Miyagi.
Mr. Miyagi's from Hawaii, first of all.
Yeah, tell him, audience.
Yeah. Now look who has a conscience. Okay. That got a that's too far chant.
First time ever in professional wrestling where people have been embalmed.
Yeah.
And this is too far.
On a scale of Pipe Bomb to Katie Vick, where does this sit?
This is pretty fucking Katie Vick, my friends.
Yeah.
Pretty Katie Vick.
And they're aware of it, too, because this is like the only clip from SmackDown that is not on the WWE YouTube channel right now.
Yeah.
It's just not... I know that his thing is you say the offensive thing and then you go, no, but that's what everyone else thinks. And it's like, nah. Like, most people did not actually do it's just that weird South Parkian, like the, you know, and I'm not even gonna, like the I'm so ronery and all that fucking bullshit. And mm-hmm. I'm just, as a fan, like... I know that he's a heel, and I understand when people say that the justification for it is that he's a heel and heels do bad things. I don't trust them enough to be able to believe that he is going to get the ass whooping that he deserves.
No, he's
going to
win.
There are Nazis in the streets. Let's not do this.
Yeah, where to begin? Let's just for a second step away from the fact that it's completely inappropriate, and like you might as well have had the corpse of Mickey Rooney jump out and do Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yes.
But for the way they're building his character, Jinder's character, I mean, they're building him as somebody who's battling the xenophobia of America. So who's the one person on the SmackDown roster who should be his ally against racist Americans? It's Shinsuke Nakamura, another person who is of a foreign land. And for that feud to be born out of Jinder's frustration that Shinsuke plays to those people and soaks in their adulation when they're not deserving of it, that's more compelling to me from a character standpoint. It gives a reason for them to fight other than him coming out and doing,
and
like,
that, yeah,
you know,
I think that's
Charlie Chan bullshit.
I think that's what they're trying to do,
but
it's
not what they're doing.
If you
jump out and say Rook or make dog references, all you're doing is perpetuating you can refer to them as being racist, and if they're not racist, then it gets you heel heat.
Because you know what it is? It's that thing that a lot of people, I think, tried to do in like the early 2000s and got called out on it, especially now. It's that kind of like thing where you distance yourself, where you say, like, this is what a bad person would say. This is a joke a bad person would say. This is a thing a bad person would say. But you still do the joke, or you still do the stereotype, and you still get the laugh. And then you get to distance yourself by saying, oh, but what I'm saying is you guys are terrible for laughing at that. Or, there's ways that he could do it without going in to get the thing and being like, this is what those folks would say about you. This is what those folks would say about you, without actually fucking doing it. You don't have to. My part of the rest of this discussion is just going to be making Marge Simpson noises.
So Dez,
yes.
Is WWE wasting the potential of Jinder Mahal that they've been trying to build up by saddling him with this kind of dialogue and this gimmick in general, the direction that they've taken him?
Yes, because if you're trying to get the Indian market behind WWE through Jinder Mahal, you're basically saying that all Indians are racist now. Because he is supposed to be the representation of India. He's supposed to stand for India.
Yeah.
So having him come out and say all this stuff, if I'm a fan watching in India, I'm thinking, I don't want to root for this guy. If they come to India, why would I go see this? Or why would I re-up my WWE Network subscription to watch this racist, poor representation of my people try and wrestle and earn my hard-earned dollars? In wrestling, as a fan, there's always, for me, these moments where you're embarrassed of what is happening. And if there's somebody else in the room who's never seen wrestling and they see you watching this, it's just that feeling of like, I want to disappear into the couch and never come out. And this was...
No, you're right. I don't know why I like this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This was one of those moments like, man, this is pretty stupid, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's also not like... And you're right that he is supposed to be like their way into a new market. It's also like... It's not even just him. It's literally all three fucking Indian dudes that you have on the roster are all like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I really liked the idea of the Punjabi playboy and him being like a rich, a rich brat. That is a good character for him to have.
And even celebrating himself and then still being able to tell some hard truths, but there's a way to do it where you're not fucking racist.
Yeah. What effect is this going to have on Shinsuke, if any? Does this...
And that's the other thing, is that Shinsuke is not like... We know who Shinsuke is and we love him. We love him from all of his time in New Japan. We love him from all of his time in NXT. His time in SmackDown has not been as strong as the rest of them. So if you don't know the rest of his legacy, it's like he's not hitting someone that's bulletproof. And I think maybe in the minds, it's like, well, Shinsuke, he's bulletproof. And it's like, nah, dude, not everyone knows that.
Dez, what effect do you think this is having on Shinsuke?
I think it's watering him down significantly, where now all of a sudden... This guy is just getting, he's letting himself get made fun of. Where is his response? Why is he just laying down and getting kicked over and over again, metaphorically?
Right.
Why doesn't he get up and start doing some literal kicking of his own? And I think that's what's missing. And I think by the time he finally gets around to doing it, it's going to be a little too late.
Let's close this out. Dez... Is what, if anything, can be done right now to sort of resurrect this program and make it compelling again in the right way on the road to Hell in a Cell?
I've been thinking about that, and it's hard because for me, like, they've taken any interest away from the program. And they wrestled before, and I wasn't into it at that time just because it was my favorite guy against some. I'm not a big gender fan to begin with. But now it's like, man, they just put racism into this. And I don't know how, I don't know how Shinsuke is going to get the revenge now that he deserves. Like, he's just going to come out and kick him a few times, and it's not going to be enough, I don't think. So I don't know how you can resurrect this and make me want to watch them at Hell in a Cell.
Legit, I want fucking Shinsuke to come out with every other fucking Asian person on the program, including all of the Samoans, and have them fucking surround the ring.
Strap match.
So that the fucking Singh brothers can't fucking do their thing. And I want Shinsuke to kick his fucking head in. And I know that that's part of, like, people are like, oh, well, now we know that it worked because you want him to get his head kicked in. And it's like, no, I want it to work because I want to believe in wrestling and I want to believe that wrestling works. It isn't because I hate gender. Gender's a dude doing a job. And I actually like a lot of points about the gender character. It's because I want to believe that in 20 fucking, you know, I want to believe that in hashtag current year, wrestling still works. That's why I want to see fucking gender get his head kicked in.
If you've got any thoughts on the gender and Shinsuke feud, let us know about them at facebook.com/group/tightsfights.
Yeah, or please at me. And if you're going to be a racist piece of shit, at me even harder. I promise you, you're going to want to do that.
Yeah.
Please at me.
There you go. When we come back,
I am inviting it.
And your handle?
I will destroy
you. Give your handle.
Oh, my handle is at Danielle Radford.
There you go.
If you want to be a racist piece of shit at me for this, please do. I am welcoming that.
She's ready for the first actually to come out.
Oh, I'm ready. I live ready.
Mm-hmm.
Nazis in the streets.
The
okay. Anyway, sorry.
Nazis in the streets.
Do the call to action.
Nazis in the streets.
Nazis in the streets.
Idade.
Nazis, 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 Nazis.
My great uncle died. when we come back, we got three things from the world of wrestling that we think you'll enjoy. That's coming up next on Tights and Fights.
Hey guys, this is Adam Conover. You may know me from my True TV show, Adam Ruins Everything. Well, guess what? Now we're doing a podcast version right here on Maximum Fun. What we do is we take all the interesting, fascinating experts that we talk to for just a couple minutes on the show, and we sit with them for an entire podcast, really going deep and getting into the fascinating details of their work. Find Adam Ruins Everything wherever you get your podcasts or at MaximumFun.org.
Tights and Fights Podcast.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Dez Delgadillo.
Every week, we end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the three count. Danielle, you're up first.
Okay, so I am putting over, I didn't get a chance to put it over last week. I might have mentioned it. I don't know. I don't listen to this podcast. I live it, you guys. I just live in the moment. So Nia Jax walked for Fashion Week, and she looked fucking amazing, and she fucking killed it. And Nia Jax has always been, like, hella into, like, body pos stuff. She posts, like, these great pictures of her in, like, bathing suits and bikinis, and she's always very, like, she's always talking about body positivity, which is fantastic. And she fucking worked that model walk, which seems really, really hard. I've never done, I don't know. I assume she's like, I think my height, and I assume her feet are as big as mine, so I don't even know how folks with these feet can do that model walk. But it was amazing, and you should look up all the photos. And she killed it. And that's it. There's no, like, real, like, anything. We'll just listen to her theme music, I guess, because there's not really anything else to, there's no, like, sound. Wow. Because I model at fucking Fashion Week. That's why I'm not like most girls.
Damn right.
New York Fashion Week. This bitch. Get it all day.
What if she did the walk to this song? That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, I would die.
And she gave a Samoan drop to all of the other models.
Yeah.
Okay, then I would definitely immediately die. Also, a special shout out to Nikki Bella for her performance on Dancing with the Stars, which was super fun. And she did get in, she did throw in like a couple of wrestling moves while she did it. And good for her. And please don't break your fucking neck on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, did that show already start?
Yeah.
Okay.
It started Monday.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But you can go back and look at her performance, and it was, you know, it was fine.
Who's her partner?
Some dude.
Fair enough.
They don't do famous people with famous people. It's famous people.
No,
with
I know.
Dude.
But I mean, is she with Derek? Is she with the guy who's like, hello, I'm a dancer?
Why on earth? I love you so much. I don't. I'm only watching.
You're all excited. You're watching. You should know who she's training with.
Some dude.
Yeah, these are the important characters.
Yeah. This is very important because some of them are very good dancing partners that have multiple championships. They have won that disco ball before. Surprise. I know about Dancing with the Stars.
What the fuck is a disco ball?
I'm going to put over you watching Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. I expect next week there will be a pop quiz.
Okay.
Dez, what do you want to put over?
Switching gears a little bit to something that's a little more sad, but a little more uplifting at the same time. Ric Flair is finally out. He's doing physical therapy. He's getting better. And People TV just put out a little mini doc that they did on him where he's talking about all the reasons why he had to go to the hospital and had to have those really difficult couple of weeks. And and a big part of that was because it was his liver and his whole a lot of his body just breaking down after the decades and decades of alcohol use. So he finally admitted to his alcoholism. And mentioned, you know, like, he didn't know he was an alcoholic at the time. You know, he was just drinking. But over time, it built up. And now, the part that I want to put over is he's using that for a positive, and he's going to go out and speak to people and sort of use his story as a means of helping other people find their way. So I'm a big fan of that, just coming to grips with that and using it for a positive.
And I called her, and she came and got me. And took me to the hospital.
The day he told me he had a stomach ache and it was really bad and he didn't feel good and we had to go was the day that saved his life because he was slowly dying.
His decades of heavy drinking have basically caused his organs to shut down.
Because of everything else shutting down, it turned out that his bowel was dying. They put him into ICU immediately.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's some heavy stuff, man. Especially somebody who's just known as being as larger than life and as fun loving as Ric Flair. That little video that People TV ran that cut deep.
Yeah, man. I had a friend who is going through some stuff where he was a big drinker and is now dealing with some liver problems. And you know, you can't party like a rock star forever.
Nope. Thank goodness Rock Bottom wasn't 6 feet under.
Yeah. Let's turn it around. Save us, Y2H.
I'm going to do it with everybody's favorite heel, Kevin Owens. Let's remember for a second that Kevin Owens, English is a second language that he learned by watching television.
Jim Ross, no less.
Yeah.
God damn.
Good old JR taught him English.
KO is just the best.
And now he's in one of the most, if not the most intriguing program on SmackDown with Shane McMahon,
which
no less.
Which is like so surprising.
But he cut a promo in a suit via satellite, air quotes, on Tuesday evening, and let's just listen to some of what makes KO the new face of America.
Shane, you say you're going to condemn me to hell?
Condemn me?
I don't think so. Because, see, for what I'm going to do to you, Shane, people like me don't go to hell. No, people like me go to heaven.
He's not wrong.
Oh, my goodness. You know, all dogs and all Kevin Owenses go to heaven.
It's true. All Kevin Owenses do go
and
to
if,
heaven.
And if that's not upbeat and a positive way to end this,
it's a good way to end it.
Then I don't know what is.
All Kevins go to heaven.
All Kevins go to heaven. 7 minutes in Kevin. That does it for Tights and Fights.
All right. I'm there with you. Yeah. 7 minutes in Kevin.
That does it for Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, our hosts are Danielle Radford and Dez Delgadillo, along with me, Hal Lublin. Hey, if you're in the New York City area, come see me live. I'm going to be there New York Comic Con weekend, Sunday the 8th. At 6 p.m., my buddy Mark Gagliardi and I are doing We Got This Live with Jonathan Colton. Then the next day, we're at the Museum of the Moving Image for two shows with the Henson Legacy. We're doing Best Muppet Show episode with special guests and Best Muppet Movie episode with special guests. And after we select the winner of each live recording, we will screen it. They're live for the audiences. You can go to HalLublin.com for info about that. Danielle, anything you need to plug?
Can continue to watch my show, Valiant Vanquished, which is part of the Valiant Comics canon, which is crazy. And for real, if you're a racist piece of shit, why don't you go ahead and at me? Tell me some stuff.
Oh, fuck. Des?
Go ahead. Just at me.
You can at me, too, but don't be racist. On Twitter, at Des Delgadillo. And that's it. Just tweet me. We'll talk about wrestling and comic books and whatever else you like to talk about.
Oh, yeah, I guess, nice people should also at me.
Yeah, you don't want to limit yourself to just bad people. You want to look forward to waking up and looking at your timeline.
You know what?
But it's you know what, right now it's all nice people, even people who disagree with me on my hot takes. But I do just want to say, if you're a racist piece of shit, would you go ahead and fucking at me?
You know what? I would like to invite everybody to at me on Twitter and say something nice about me because I want to feel good about myself.
I'm a comedian. That's long gone.
Listen, I'm a comedian too. I'm just playing on the. I'm trying to be less insecure and say I deserve this. Our producer is the most good brother, Julian Burrell. Congrats on your engagement, Julian. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music as well, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter. And if you love the show, remember what I said at the beginning, hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Thank you so much to all of the Maximum Fun members who've chosen to support our show and keep the lights on when we're in this studio. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.